The second lesson for today in our seven lessons for seven Sundays from seven messages is from Romans, the 12th chapter, the first and second verses I will be reading. The Apostle Paul writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So here the Apostle Paul is suggesting to us, actually commanding us, that we might live our lives based on all that God has done for us in his deeds of love and mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ. That our faith life is based, first of all, on everything that God has done for us, and second of all, in how we respond to making that a part of our life. The caterpillar in this image says to the butterfly, you've changed. To which the butterfly responds, we're supposed to. In verse 2 of our lesson up here, it says, the word transform actually comes from, in the Greek, from metamorphose, from which we get the word metamorphosis, which is the way we describe a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, changing totally from what it was to what it is. Through faith, we respond to all that God has done for us through Christ, and we find ourselves changed. We learn to respond to God through faith. God had a dream, and God has a plan. First, we go back, all the way back, to the beginning of everything that God was up to in history. If we look at Genesis chapters 1 and 2, you will see that God created us, male and female, in his image, placed us in the garden to keep it and take care of it, and then provided everything we needed for life. And then in chapter 3, right away almost, we mess up. And we decide that we have to try to do things our own way. And we become conformed to this world. But God stays with us. He doesn't leave us there. In Genesis chapter 12, God comes to Abraham and Sarah and tells them they are to leave their home and their family and to go where he tells them to go. Go where I tell you to go, and I will bless you, and by you all the nations of the world will be blessed. And God continues to bless Abraham and Sarah through his son Isaac and through Jacob and through Joseph, and we read the rest of Genesis, seeing all that God has done for God's people. In Exodus chapter 20, we just heard in the first lesson, God through Moses says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and you shall have no other gods before me. And then God gave them the Ten Commandments, not just as laws to somehow keep and take care of them, each other and themselves, but as a way that the people, God's people, might remain faithful, live responsibly with one another, and not be conformed to the ways of the people that they were around them, that they were living in that land. After Moses spoke these words, the people said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do," was their promise and their response. But it wasn't long after that, and the people began to break those commandments. And yet God, even then, continued to stay with them and follow them and not give up on them. This is really the theme of this message today. Actually, it's the theme of all of Scripture. God had a dream. We mess up, and God has a plan. Our lives can then be described in two different ways. Sinner, as we, like Adam and Eve, struggle to try to be conformed to all the ways of this world. And saint, as we come to hear God's word and respond to God's word and become transformed, following what God's will is for us in our lives. If you look at these two words, sinner and saint, you turn one upside down and it becomes the other one. And that's the way we live our lives in this world, both and. Possibly trying to look how we can be like everybody else and be conformed. And also hearing God's word and responding to the promise that he gives to us. It's like this. It's like the difference between religion, following laws and rules, and the gospel, being in a relationship with God. A brief story. Religion is like this. A child says, "Oh my gosh, I messed up. Dad's going to kill me." And the gospel, like this. Same child. "I messed up. I have to call my dad." That describes a relationship with God, a God that will not give up on us, no matter how much we mess up. And so also through Jesus, God continued to provide, walk with, care for, and forgive his people, his children. We see this in everything Jesus did, in his teaching, preaching, healing, as he went about his ministry. But faith also required that the would-be disciples learn to follow Jesus. In John chapter 1, it says, "Jesus came to his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God, who were born not of the blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, being conformed to the way things already were, but of God, being transformed by God's promise." They must come to faith, must come to believe, and then be transformed. The disciples were called to follow Jesus. It wasn't just a decision that they made for themselves. It was a response to faith. It was a call to leave behind this life in a not to be conformed to this age, but to be transformed by their faith in Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his Cost of Discipleship, tells this story. He says, "Two separate occasions, Peter received the call, 'Follow me.'" Mark 1 and John 21. The whole life of Peter was between these two calls. The first occasion was at the Sea of Galilee when Peter left his nets and his boat and followed Jesus at his command. And the second occasion was when the risen Lord came to Peter when he'd once more gone back to his former trade of fisherman. And again, it was at the Sea of Galilee, and again, it was Jesus, the risen Jesus, saying, "Follow me." This was between the two calls that was the whole discipleship of Peter. And yet halfway between that those two calls was Peter's confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter's confession, Jesus as the Christ. Each time it is the same grace of Christ that called him to follow and which revealed to him his confession. In the life of Peter, grace and discipleship were never separated. First, Peter sees, hears, and experiences the grace of God in Christ, and second, is moved to believe and to follow. And so it is with us. As it was with the people of Israel, as they followed Moses out of Egypt into the wilderness and to the promised land at God's command, and the people and the disciples were to follow Jesus in "Follow me," so it is with us. Our call to faith begins with God the Father, Creator, Jesus calling us to follow him, and the Holy Spirit moving about among us. For us, faith is a lifelong response. It happens like this. Faith begins with God almost unrecognizably. And then the more we move in to respond to God's action in our lives, it becomes real. But it takes both. God first planting the seed, and then you and I responding and growing in faith. And so it is with our young people who will be accepting their faith in confirmation next Sunday. And I invite you to read the responses that they have made about how Jesus has been in their lives that are out there in the Welcome Center that they've written themselves. One day I was standing in front of the mirror looking and wondering if I might start growing a beard. And then I realized it had really already started. All I could really say is that I'm going to let it continue to grow. A woman could say the same thing. I'm going to grow my hair out. Again, it's already started. All she can decide is, I'm going to let it continue to grow whatever length she wants it to grow. Our faith is just like that. God plants the seed in us even before we know that it's there. God plants it in baptism and any number of ways that the Spirit decides to show up. And Christ calls us to follow. But we still need to respond and to let the gift of faith transform us into the one who follows Christ in everything that we say and do. And so that can happen in many ways as we come to worship, actually looking for it to transform us. Roman Catholics have a way as when they enter the worship space, there's a spot of water that they can touch, make the sign of the cross, reminding them who they are. I am the baptized. I belong here. This is where I come to know God. And it's like remembering where home is. A place where I can find peace, solitude, and renewal. And we can do the same thing as we come through by the baptismal font every Sunday. We can notice the symbols of our faith, the cross, the altar, the banners, and all those things that say, this is a special place. Something special happens here. We hear the message in the songs that we sing, and we listen to God's word in scripture and the message that's given that day, and we experience life, we greet our siblings in Christ as we walk in the same way with them. We encourage one another to grow together in faith. And as we seek Christ each time we come to the table of grace to renew us in our walk, and remember that every time you come here, that no matter where you are in your faith journey or how you come today, you are welcome here. These are all ways that we, in coming here into this space, are transformed and grow into the person that God has created us to be way back in the beginning of baptism. And so now, as I finish this message and as we prepare to respond with the hymn, Here I Am, Lord, 574, I want you to note that in the verses, it is God speaking and then calling us to respond in faith. And in the chorus, the refrain, it is us answering that call. Amen.